Lake Charles.
Good afternoon. It's 3 p.m. 30% chance of rain throughout the evening. Stay tuned. Coming up at 4 o'clock, it's All Things Considered from NPR News. We're going to begin this hour by going into the interview studio with Judith Merriweather.
With me in the KRVS studios this afternoon is Daryl Bork, former Louisiana poet laureate and poet for always. He has just finished a book called If You Abandon Me, Comment Je Vais Faire, an Amédée Ardoin songbook. He is here to talk about a very special fundraiser that will take place at Vermilionville this Thursday, August 7th. It's the first Une Veillée avec Amédée, and it's to raise funds for a memorial to Amédée Ardoin. And we're going to be talking about what's going to go on Thursday evening and a bit more about your book. But I want to ask you first how you became interested in Amédée Ardoin. What do you remember as your first experience of the musician and the effect it had on you?
Well, I remember the first time I heard Amédée Ardoin. I heard the music that was probably the first performed music that I had ever heard. My uncle, Albert Bergeron, owned a bar, and there were a group of country musicians who played there on Friday and Saturday nights, and they played the kind of music that was, not commercial music, but a kind of music that was sort of from the heart. And the first time I heard Amédée, I saw in his music, that must have been the source for what these men in the 1950s were playing in that little bar in St. Landry Parish near Bellevue, Louisiana.
Now, when you say when you first saw Amédée or heard Amédée, did you actually see him playing?
No. If I said saw, that was a mistake. When I first heard him, I first heard those recordings,
right.
That's what I heard. Mm-hmm. I heard Valmont Chavis. Who was the man who was the accordionist at my uncle's bar.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, let's take, for those people who don't know much about Amédée, I mean, if we're from here, we've heard that name, and we mention it a lot here on KRVS during various programs. But take us back and sketch out the person that we're going to be talking about.
All right. Amédée was born in Durald, Louisiana, near Basile in Evangeline Parish in 1898 and died in 1942. He was 44 years old. He was a musician whose recording career is quite impressive. His first recording session was in New Orleans, his second in San Antonio, and his third for the Decca Recording Company was in New York City, where he probably recorded the largest number of songs that we have available to us now. It was not unusual for mixed race bands to play at house dances and in the bars and in the community gatherings. And Amédée's sort of best known fiddle player was Dennis McGee from Eunice. And Dennis McGee and Amédée had, a wonderful relationship. Amédée as a musician is also, I think, important because there were two young fellas who were teenagers at the time that Amédée was playing, and those people were Canray Fontenot and Boissec, Alphonse Boissec Ardoin. And, they came on the scene and sort of defined what we call la-la music, Creole music of Louisiana, that comes to us from black French-speaking people. And so the first school that Canray and Alphonse went to was to Amédée. Amédée was, when he was a relatively young man, was beaten in a racial assault and was actually left for dead on the side of the road. He crawled back to his house where he lived on the Marcantel property But he was never the same, and he was never fully functional again. And finally, in the last years of his life, he was almost, he was almost completely non-functional. And his family sent him to what we as kids called the insane asylum in Pineville, which is now the Central Louisiana Hospital. He was there only for 6 months. There was not very much that they could do for him. One of the stories that goes around is that Amadei often walked off the grounds and would be found hitchhiking. And whenever anybody picked him up and asked him where he wanted to go, he would say, "I want to go home." That's interesting to me because it sort of is a mirror into, the kind of care that those people received at the time, to be able to walk off the grounds that easily and being that severely impaired says a great deal. Amadei was buried in an unmarked grave in what the people at the hospital called then the Negro section of the graveyard. And Amadei's family, for a long time, the Ardwan family went on a kind of mission to retrieve Amadei's remains. And because all of those people in that particular graveyard were buried in unmarked graves, it's just an impossible thing. And so our fundraiser is an attempt to create a symbolic bringing Amadei home.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, talk about the importance of that. Just not too long ago, I had a group of archaeologists and anthropologists in here who are working on the new Akadi project, who are right. searching for the original Akadi, the first ones who came over. And they addressed that idea of memorial and the importance of that to us. We don't have a lot of that in this area.
No.
So talk about why that's so important to have a place to go, something where a place to go and think about something.
Judith, I think those early Acadians and those Creoles of the 20th century are such incredible models for us. I can't think of a better model for the artist or for a young person who wants to realize his dream than Amadei. The people in the New Acadia Project who are trying to find where Joseph Beausoleil Broussard and his clan, so to speak, first settled. That's important because they represent for a lot of people who are either descended from that particular family or who are part and parcel of this culture by acculturation. They represent incredible models of creativity and resilience and strength and courage. Mm-hmm. When none of those things seem to be, what they should have come up with.
Mm-hmm. And so that importance of actually finding a place or to have a place where you can go and honor and memorialize, it seems to be very important. And of course, you're raising funds here to do that for Amadei. What does that do to people? Because obviously those are values that we all have and share, but having that place and an object where we can go is important.
Yeah, and we're part of a culture that really pays attention to place. Sometimes we don't pay attention to it enough. New Orleans is so important to Louisianians and to the nation because it is a place like no other place in the world. I'm thinking of, sort of other sacred places. Whether or not Evangeline was buried anywhere near St. Martinville, St. Martinville becomes an important place, to people in the Cajun culture, to people who are Catholics. There's this steady pilgrimage of people to Charlene Richard's gravesite in that part, in Richard, Louisiana. And so, place is important because it brings us, I think, to an actual location where something significant happened in our past. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to me that we sort of gravitate and we want to go back to those particular places.
So describe what it is that – what kind of place you all are envisioning and hoping to create. What kind of memorial are you hoping to create for Amadei Ardoin?
What we're hoping for is this kind of symbolic return to the area around Eunice. You know, we could erect a statue where Amadei perhaps actually lived near Bayou Nipique or Doral, Louisiana, but no one would see it. We want it in a more public place. The public was sort of hard on Amadei during his lifetime, and my idea is that we've come to a time and we've come to an understanding of his contribution to our culture that a public commemoration of his importance is the right thing to do. And so we're thinking of something probably near Eunice, Louisiana. One possibility is trying to get it on or near the campus of LSUE. Another possibility is, you know, they have that little park area near the Liberty Theater where they have now a bronze statue of Miss Eunice that Eunice was named for. That would be an appropriate place. We're working with a group of civic leaders to sort of guide us on what the right place is. And we're also working with the Ardoin family we want to be in agreement about where that place finally is.
And for those people who, again, really know just his name, a little bit about him, what is that legacy? What is that legacy for not only musicians, but the rest of us who love this culture?
Yeah. Well, just from the standpoint of music, if you listen to Amadei, you see all of Lala. Lala is a sort of takeoff. If you listen to Amadei, you hear Michael Doucet, you hear Roddy Romero, you hear Buzu Chavis and Bojack, and all of those people who are so important to us. So that as a music pioneer, he's important. But more important than that, or equally important, I think, is what he left behind in the ways in which race and cultural difference was not so important to him. The music was important to him. What color he was less important to him. But even in his culture, talking to one of Alphonse's sons recently, we talked about this Jolene that he's always singing to. And there's a story that Amadei was in love with this beautiful young woman, and she ended up marrying somebody else, and Amadei never married. And they told me something that I hadn't realized before. Supposedly, the reason she didn't marry him was because he was too dark. And, that would have been something that would have really been a hurtful thing to him, because he seemed to see past color. And yet, one of the important, events in his life, his creative life and his actual life, had to do with color and with race.
Mm. I want to tell people who are probably just tuning in right now, we're talking about Amadei Ardoin, musician who died in 1942. My guest is poet Daryl Bork, who is working with many other people to create a memorial to Amadei Ardoin. There is a fundraiser this Thursday at Vermilionville that we'll be talking a little bit more about in a moment. It's called Une Veillée avec Amadei. Well, you have taken these reactions to his music, the emotions that you have about his place in our culture. You've talked to many people about him, and you've created this work. It's a collection of poems about him, about people's responses to him. And it's called If You Abandon Me, Comment Je Vais Faire, an Amadei Ardoin songbook. How did you start thinking about this work? When did you start thinking about creating a work dedicated to Amadei?
Well, when I finished Megan's Guitar and other poems from Akadi, I thought that was it, that I might not ever write another poem, because it was a watershed book for me. I was in Eunice doing a reading for the students at LSUE in the community at Café Mosaic on 2nd Street in Eunice. And, you know, it came to me that that was the subject of my next book. That I had to write on this particular man in this particular culture. Yeah.
What did you do after that? Because there's probably even less written about him than the Acadians at that time. How did you go about finding pieces of his life to put into this poetic story?
Well, I had some wonderful help. I had some wonderful help in that I immediately began talking to Barry Ancelet, you know, who has collected stories in the area his whole life. And so he had interviewed Can Ray, and he knew Alphonse Ardoin and had stories told to him by those people. And then, one of my primary resources was Anne Allen Savoy's Cajun Music Reflection of a People. And her little biographical piece on Amadei is just so well researched and has such wonderful information. And in that particular book, there are also biographical sketches and discography lists and so forth of Dennis McGee and of the, you know, the Bro brothers from around Roberts Cove who knew Amadei. And so Anne's book just opened up all kinds of possibilities. And then I went to the liner notes on the two CDs that we have available to us of Amadei's music. And, you know, the wonderful writer Michael Tisserand has written the liner notes for one of those CDs. And so I had all kinds of information there. In fact, he has a wonderful interview with Ken Ray Fontenot that I base one of the poems on. Michael Doucet does some of the liner notes as well. So I was in tremendously good company. I picked up what I could and turned those things turned that information into poems.
A songbook.
Yes, a songbook. Yes.
Well, you have the lovely book here in front of you, and you have it open to a couple poems. Tell us about the poem you're going to read.
The poem that I'm going to read is Can Ray Fontenot Talks to Michael Tisserand. It's Can Ray's story about how they finally let Amadei go. Ken Ray was 17 years old when Amadei went off with Clermont Falcon and Joe Falcon to do his recordings in Eunice. Dennis McGee was supposed to accompany Amadei to New York City, but at the last minute he couldn't go. And so Ken Ray was asked by Amadei to accompany him and to play the fiddle. So here was a 17-year-old kid who was being asked to go to New York City. When the news got to his mother said no. And so Ken Ray didn't go, and Joe and Clermont and Amadei got on a bus in Louisiana and went to New York City to do that recording in the winter of 1934. But this is Ken Ray's story as told to Michael Tisserand. It's largely about how the family and the friends and the people close to Amadei could finally let him go. And here's the poem. I knew him ever since I was a little kid. He wanted me to go with him up north with my fiddle to record his songs at Decca. I was 17. My mama wouldn't let me go. Like Boisec, I played triangle behind him. As a boy, I was watching how he was playing and listening to his tune and learning the words. At the end, the only news we got was from the family who went to see him over there in Pineville. They said the people said he wouldn't drink, and he wouldn't eat. It was like he couldn't do anything for himself. The last we heard was he was stone crazy. His brother told us. It's how we let him go. And that struck me as something that often happened to people who were sent, to those institutions like the institution at Pineville, the community that they were from. Well, first of all, the distance from, a place like Eunice to Pineville was a significant difference, significant distance. And so often they were sort of abandoned, which is partly where I get my title from, If You Abandon Me.
Mm. Is there another poem that you'd like to read to us?
This is one of my favorite poems in the book, Aurelia Clint Ardwan's Little Boy, and it's a persona poem. All of the poems in here are persona poems. They're all inverted sonnets, and Aurelia Clint Ardwan's Little Boy is a poem where I give the voice in the poem over to his mother. Amadei had two brothers that we know, that I know the names of, Austin and Baudouin. I love the name Baudouin Ardouin. Mm-hmm. Aurelia was a poet herself.
That's right.
And in the song, in the poem, there are also two songs that are referred to, two ancient songs, or at least old songs, Tigalo and Tavole Montreno. The poem reads, "He was the seventh of my seven sons. From the start, he wasn't like the others. He was a squirmy baby, and he cried a lot. His voice was always way up there. Before he could walk, his daddy died in that bridge, falling in on his wagon filled with meat, and on him, too. I remember him and Austin and Baudouin playing in the yard next to the lemon tree, singing Tigalo and Tavole Montreno. Like he cried, he'd sing way up there, and then he'd bring the song down, piece by piece, until you could see yourself in it. I could hear him singing when I died." And the lemon in that particular poem, the lemon tree, comes from, something that's part of the oral tradition in the stories of Amadei, that he always carried a lemon in his pocket so that he could keep his
vocal cords,
his throat clean. And one of the ideas that we have for the public commemorative for Amadei is wherever the statue appears, we hope to plant a lemon tree as well, or maybe several lemon trees, maybe a lemon grove, so that Amadei always has the lemons.
I think you just got people there.
Yeah.
That's what a lovely idea. If you are tuning in, my guest is Daryl Bourque talking about the efforts by himself and a group of people to create a memorial to the musician Amadei Ardouin. The first of the veillées will be this Thursday, une veillée avec Amadei. It will be at Vermilionville in Lafayette this Thursday, the 7th. It's called Let's Bring Amadei Home, the project, and starts at 6:00. So what can people expect to happen on Thursday?
Oh, it's going to be a wonderful event. Our event coordinator is someone who's on the steering committee, Dexter Ardouin, who is of the Ardouin music family. Dexter has organized this group of Ardouin family musicians who are going to come in and play. We know that commitments have been made by Lawrence Ardouin and Ronald Ardouin, who are sons of Alphonse Boissac Ardouin. We understand that perhaps Sean Ardouin will also be there. And, of course, Dexter will be playing his accordion as well. And there are other Ardouin family members that we're hoping will come and join us in this effort. One of the things that we knew from the very beginning was that because of the history of the family's attempts to honor Amadei, we knew that this had to be a community event. and that it would be more significant if it were a community event where the community joined the family in bringing Amade home. And so our steering committee is made up of Pat Cravens of St. Landry Parish, a lifelong educator and actress in the area, Dexter Ardwin, myself, and Donna and Tony Baltakis from Eunice. We see that steering committee as guiding the effort, but there are resources right outside that circle, that we want to be able to call upon. There are a couple of exciting things that are happening. The man who did the image for the cover of the book has offered his painting for sale, with all money derived from the sale of the painting going to the commemorative effort.
And who did the painting?
The painting is by Pierre Bourque from Ottawa. No relation to me, as far as I know, but someone that whose work I really admire. And he took the only extant photograph of Amade, which happened to be his confirmation picture when he was a young boy, and he created out of it a giclée print in color, and it's quite a beautiful print. In addition to the event that we're having at Orneville, we're also inviting people in the community to sponsor their own Amade Veilles avec Amade, as home meetings where people gather and tell Amade stories and call upon me and Pat and Dexter, to contribute and, to read poems if that seems to be the right thing to do. And we've set a certain amount. And so if the person sponsoring the party reaches that particular goal, we give them a yard sign. A yard sign that says Amade stopped here on his way home.
With the image from the painting.
With the image. That's right. That's right.
Well, you said Arneville. Is that the one this Thursday? Is it Vermilionville?
I'm sorry, Judith. Yes, it is at Vermilionville.
Okay. Yeah. Might have people heading off to New News.
Yeah, right, right.
So this Thursday at Vermilionville, and there will be music, and
yes,
you will be reading your poems.
I will be
book.
Reading poems, and different people will be telling Amade stories.
Okay.
Yeah.
And will you have books there for sale?
We will have books. Okay. We will have books for sale. We'll have T-shirts for sale. And we think our first sign that says Amade stopped here on his way home will be at Vermilionville.
Good place to start.
Yes.
So if people are interested in having their own veille, who do they contact about that, Daryl?
They contact Pat Cravens, who's the head of our steering committee. And her telephone number, if I can give that, is 337-789-5078.
Okay.
If people want to make donations to the Amade Ardwin Project, our depository is New News in Orneville. And so if they make a check out to New News Art and Culture Collective with a notation that it's for the Amade Ardwin Project, New News is our depository. We want all the money to be in a safe place.
Central place on his
yes.
way home. So if anyone's interested in having their own veille, the first will be this Thursday at Vermilionville, and veille for Amade, you can contact Pat Cravens. We'll keep her telephone number here as well. Is there a website that people can visit? Do you have any web presence?
There's not a website at this point. We are working on that, or at least on having a Facebook page that people can go to.
So call Pat Cravens or perhaps even New News Art Collective in Arneville.
Exactly.
Some information
right.
on that.
Right.
Or attend this Thursday and find out how to veille
right.
with Amade and musicians and poets and people who want to memorialize Amade Ardwin. Again, this is to help create a memorial to Amade that will be in the vicinity of Eunice.
Yes.
And the committee is working with the communities and civic leaders to find the best place for that memorial.
Right.
But lots more information this Thursday if you'd like to attend. It starts at 6 o'clock.
6 to 10.
6 to 10,
yes.
And you can go at any time during yes. that time. Anything else we should know about the project, Daryl, or this Thursday, what's going to be going on?
Well, maybe just a couple of other things. We're in touch with a sculptor from the Basile area who received his MA and MFA from Berkeley, University of California at Berkeley, and who has been, devoted his whole life to sculpting. He has just returned from Nigeria, where he's doing a commission piece for the government of Nigeria, very respected man who is part of the Ardwan family. And we're hoping that he will be the one to construct the memorial to Amadé.
We'll look forward perhaps to having you and the sculptor here at some
point. Oh, that would be wonderful.
When that is settled.
Yes.
We'll look forward to seeing how the project progresses. But the start of it is this Thursday, the first veillée for Amadé Ardoin at Vermilionville. The project is called Let's Bring Amadé Home. My guest, Daryl Bork, poet Daryl Bork, is a part of the steering committee for the project. His book, If You Abandon Me, Comment Je Vais Faire, an Amadé Ardoin songbook, will be available at the veillée. And
yes.
he'll be reading poems. And if you have a story about Amadé from your family or something that you've heard, you can share at one of the VAs.
Your story is as important as ours because this isn't about, one person's version of the life of Amadé. It's about the community telling that story.
Mm. And it sounds like it's also just about his life, but the effect he's had on everyone with his music.
Sure,
and
sure.
So attend or have your own veillée. Find out more about the Let's Bring Amadé Home Project. Call New News or Pat Cravens or Daryl Bork.
Right.
Thank you so much, Daryl.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.